Welcome to Ask the Experts, a monthly podcast taking on the latest questions around healthcare legislation and compliance.
Welcome to today's episode of Ask the Experts. With us today is Shelley Bloom, Director of Legislative Awareness and Training. Before we begin today's podcast, I would like to read the following disclaimer. This podcast is designed to highlight various employee benefit matters of general interest to our listeners. It is not intended to interpret laws or regulations or to address specific client situations. You should not act or rely on any information contained herein without seeking the advice of an attorney or tax professional. Shelley, my first question is, when an employer receives a MLR rebate, is the employer required to give former employees a part of the rebate?
Hi, Jim. The answer to this one is no. It is up to the employer to determine the group of employees that they are going to give the rebate to. So although former employees do receive a letter from the insurance carrier that is paying the rebate to the employer, it does not talk about the amount of the rebate, and the employer can choose to distribute it to employees that are currently employed, those that were employed in 2022 and still employed in 2023, or some other way. So it is not required for the employer to look up former employees and pay them a part of the rebate.
The employer is situated in Florida, but the employee lives in New York. Does COBRA and or state continuation apply for Florida or New York?
This would be New York is the answer. It follows where the employee resides. So in this case, the employee lives in New York. It doesn't matter that the company is situated in Florida. It follows where the employee lives.
Are two or more companies required to combine their coverage when together? They are in an ALE.
The answer to that is no. If two companies are a part of a commonly owned group or a controlled group, yes, you have to count the employees of both of the companies. And if you get to 50 or more, which in this case you said yes, they are an ALE, then both of those companies must offer coverage that is minimum essential, minimum value, and affordable. But the ACA law does not require those two companies to physically combine their coverage to one carrier or another carrier. As long as they offer affordable coverage, they are good.
When an employee goes from full-time to part-time, what happens to the coverage? This group is an ALE.
So it's very important adding that part that says that this group is an ALE. They are an applicable large employer. That means that that employer is most likely utilizing the look-back measurement period, followed by an administrative period, followed by the stability period. So what you're doing there is looking backward to when that employee was employed in the prior year. Did they have enough months at 130 hours or more to say that they are full-time and they get an offer of coverage in the current year, the plan year, the stability period year? If that answer is yes, then that employee gets coverage offered for the entire 12 months, the plan year, or the stability period year, of course, as long as that employee remains employed. If at some point during that year, their stability period year, they do reduce their hours from, let's say, 40 hours a week to 20 hours a week, they will continue to get that offer of coverage until the next renewal. The employer will use that look-back measurement period to determine whether or not they would get coverage in the following year. But just because somebody has a reduction in hours when they are an ALE, it does not automatically mean that they get a reduction or no offer of coverage.
When is an employer required to report the cost of the medical plan on Box 12 of the W-2?
This is a good question at this time of year. So if an employer issues 250 or more W-2 forms, then that employer is required to complete Box 12 and use code DD for the dog twice they are required to disclose the amount of the coverage and various other things that they can choose in there. So just because they don't have 250 employees at the time they're doing it, the IRS requirement is to count the number of W-2s that you are going to submit by December 31st. You're obviously reporting in January, but if your number is 250 or more over the course of the year, that employer is required to report in Box 12 DD. If the employer has fewer than 250 W-2s in a year, they may choose to do that reporting, but they are not required to.
A husband and wife are covered on a group health plan. The husband terminates with his employer. The husband has a new job with benefits. However, the wife wants to elect COBRA. Is the wife able to do that on her own?
The answer is definitely yes. It sounds like the husband and the wife were both covered on the group health plan on the day prior to the husband's termination. So each one of them has the offer of COBRA coverage and can select that offer on their own. So husband can go to the new job and select the new benefits at his new job. But if wife prefers to select the COBRA option from the husband's prior employer, she is certainly permitted to do that.
Who can enroll in CHIP coverage?
Well, that's a pretty easy one. CHIP is the Children's Health Insurance Program. It is offered by the federal government. The federal government gives block grant dollars to each state to administer their own CHIP program. It's named different things in different states, like in New York, it's the Child Health Plus. In New Jersey, it's called New Jersey Family Care, but whatever it's called, it covers kids from age zero, so to the time they're born, until they reach age 19. Each state has created their own programs. Some might have one, two, three, four, five different offerings, and income of the family is also a variable. But any child under the age of 19 is permitted to enroll in CHIP coverage.
If an employer has fewer than 50 employees, what are they required to do for the ACA?
So this is one that's often asked at this time of year. If an employer has fewer than 50 employees, they are not an applicable large employer. They are not subject to a penalty if they do not offer coverage. They may choose to offer coverage, and that is certainly the focus of the ACA, is that all employers offer coverage. But when an employer is under 50, they are not required to do that. The other thing that the small employer can do under 50 is they can determine the number of hours that an employee has to work to be eligible for those benefits. We know that when you are an ALE, you have 50 or more full-time and full-time equivalent employees. We use that average of 30 hours a week or an average of 130 hours a month, and that's what that ALE must cover. But when the employer is less than that, they can say you have to work 37 and a half hours in a week in order to get the benefits. The waiting period of 90 days still applies no matter what, but the smaller employer, in this case fewer than 50, is the one that does not have as many requirements as the ALE.
Thank you for listening. Please join us next month for another edition of Ask the Experts.